Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. It is September 13th, 2020, and this is episode 690 of Radio Free Nintendo. I am your host, James Jones, and I'm joined today by... Yep, happened again. So I made a big dumb mistake. I forgot to do the thing I ask everybody to do, which is to do a test recording. And my audio ended up sounding like crap. To quote Guillaume, it sounded like the devil speaking to me through a busted intercom. Here's a sample. Yeah, we ain't doing anything with that crap. So, unfortunately, we lost the episode. And the episode had lots of really nice content in it. Greg was out this week because he was watching the start of the NFL season. He traditionally takes that Thursday off for the NFL cash grab Thursday night game. And John had some thoughts on it that I disagreed with. And in the recording, although the evidence is lost, strenuously disagreed with him. But I want his disagreement to be on the record so that he might feel the sting of justice when Greg returns.
You know what? Let me just opine on this for a minute. I often wonder when Greg takes these, you know, because, I mean, first off, his team isn't even playing tonight. What is he really getting out of this? Greg's a fascinating individual.
Like, are you
to me.
Saying that an evening away from us is not its own reward?
I just wonder why he can't just have the game going on in the background. That's all I'm saying. You know? Multitask a little bit. By the way, what's the score in that game? I didn't even know that.
Excellent job multitasking, John. Didn't even know the score. Obviously, the news of Hyrule Warriors: The Age of Calamity being announced as just a random video drop meant the very first segment of RFN, as is now customary, was devoted to Hyrule Warriors: The Age of Calamity. Those of you who have listened to the show for a while might have immediately felt the same pang of fear I did, because you will remember what we refer to as Scarfgate, where Nintendo released a definitive edition of Hyrule Warriors for Wii U, and packaged it with a scarf based on the scarf Link wears in the game. The scarf was readily available in Europe and Japan, but in North America, it was limited only to the Nintendo New York City store, and it caused consternation and a deluge in our inbox, long lines in New York, and just general misanthropy. We obviously could not resist the bait when we found out there is also a blanket that is based on Link's sailcloth, available only in the deluxe edition in Japan. Let me give you a taste of Guillaume and John's reductivist thinking. Whereas I, a brave hero who stands up for consumers, is unfortunately muted by the cruelty of audio recording. Remember, James is your friend. Guillaume and John are like this.
I mean, if there's one thing I love talking about, it's Zelda. It's Zelda scarves.
Yeah. But I, at the same time, I get it, because there's been, like, right now, Nintendo has opened the floodgates for merchandising, and there's almost too much Nintendo crap out there. So we live in a golden era of plastic crap from Nintendo, but there's no, you know, like, the back then was a little bit different, so I can get it. Like, you know, like, there wasn't that much Zelda swag to get your hands on just a few years ago. So, the situation is completely different today. Of course, we don't have as much Zelda swag as we do merchandise, as we do Mario merchandise, but I'm sure that's going to change at some point, because Nintendo is not just going to license Mario out. Like, they're going to try to do that for as many franchises as they can.
Right. Like, I mean, back then you could say that, you know, you would punch a child to get something and people would understand it. You know, they would sympathize. But nowadays you just can't say that. So, you know, things change. Social mores change, you know.
Yes. That was comrade Guillaume Veillette, editor and longtime co-host of Radio Free Nintendo, downplaying your concerns about scarves. And John Lindemann, former site director of Nintendo World Report, alleged co-host and general criminal, saying that at some point in his childhood, it was okay to punch a child. But these two absolute monsters were not done. Oh no. This conversation about Zelda merch, and specifically this game, really just overwhelmed any conversation about the game itself. And these two continued their tirade with this.
You know, I was going to say like that consumerism is so stupid and that scarves are like the easiest thing to knit. Like it's probably the first thing that you're going to try to knit if you're learning to knit. And so you could just knit your own freaking Zelda scarf. And then I looked it up and yeah, like you can find plenty of Zelda knitting patterns.
But what if you don't know how?
Well, you can learn. That's what I just said. Like I knitted something years ago. I forgot how to knit, but I'm sure I could learn it again.
So, yeah. So your suggestion, Guillaume, is for all these people whining about the Hyrule Warriors scarf is for them to just start knitting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was really overblown. You know, if you need a scarf, you can just knit your own.
Yeah. I mean, if you're hungry right now, just start growing some food. Stop whining.
Yeah. Get good.
Get good at life, right?
No, we need to stop. We need to stop this. I need to stop for a second. I need to comment that John's point of if you are hungry, just grow more food is possibly the antithesis of Comrade Guillaume's commentary on consumerism, but equally and perhaps more disturbing. All right, continue, you two, unabated.
Get good at life. That's what we're saying to everybody listening to this podcast. Get good at life. So I'm just wondering, did we actually answer? Was there a question in that scarf email?
How do you feel about it?
Okay, I think we killed that question.
We sure did. That wasn't all we talked about in the first segment, though. We also had a bunch of time devoted to a whole load of email we got about Odama, the Yute Saito GameCube pinball/strategy game set during the medieval Japanese warfare. If you're wondering why we got a bunch of emails about Odama at the same time, it's because the individuals at the Nintendo World Report Discord, who are wonderful, by the way, but don't tell them I said that, tell them I think they're terrible, saw that an individual was giving the show crap on social media and accused us of talking about Odama every episode. This resulted in, I'm going to say, 5 Odama emails, including 2 from 2 distinct individuals named Chris from Pennsylvania. So we had a lot of Odama-related material to work through. What I am going to include some excerpts for is an email called Odama 2, Balls of Green. This is from MASB, who wrote, "With the autumn comes a change in the wind. I suddenly felt the need to revisit a neglected classic, Yute Saito's Odama, for the GameCube. I well remember the fun you guys had playing the game to celebrate the 400th episode of RFN. So I am asking you to look back at that experience and discuss what you would like in an Odama sequel. Tech has changed so much since then. Would Nintendo use the Joy-Con to simulate bongos? Would you communicate your commands through the Nintendo smartphone voice chat app? Your fans eagerly await your thoughts on this pressing subject. May your balls always avoid the gutter." This spiraled the conversation in a wild direction. Guillaume was obviously not prepared to come up with a sequel for Odama. I was perhaps too prepared to come up with a sequel for Odama, in fact, generating 2 of them on the spot. One of them involved taking 2 switches and drawing a line between them with your finger, kind of like they do in the Super Mario Party, so that you have 2 switches side by side and using each one as a bongo drum to control the flippers, and then having a third person in the other room listening to you scream commands and typing them in on the gamepad, on the Switch, excuse me, that they are holding, making this Nintendo's first 3-switch minimum to play a game. This idea was, I'm going to say, met with the kind of concern that was probably appropriate. The second game I invented was based around the dating sim genre, specifically based around the dating sims set during the Meiji Restoration that are all the rage in the Switch eShop. You will find them under names like Autumn, Twilight of the Shinsengumi, or Blades of Love, The Fall of the Shinsengumi. In most of them, you play a street urchin who manages to worm her way into the heart of one or more members of the Shinsengumi. And if you're not familiar with who the Shinsengumi are, I don't particularly begrudge you that. They were the secret police of the shogunate who were primarily used as assassins and to break up popular resistance to shogunate's rule. But it also... They've become somewhat romanticized in Japanese culture, and it's kind of unfair just to call them the secret police, although they were definitely that. Because the Choshu alliance that were trying to usurp power from the shogun and place the emperor as a puppet weren't exactly playing with an honest deck either. So, you know, it's probably fine to romanticize them a little bit. But if you don't believe me that there are a bunch of street urchin Mary's Shinsengumi on the eShop, try me. Just try me. But I don't have any audio of my brilliant plan for a dating sim slash economic mechanism to generate wealth. But I do have John Lindemann saying the title that I created. John, if you please.
So it's Odama. Hold on, it's Odama 2, Mind Games with Waifus, colon, and you will win. Okay. All right. I don't really know how I can follow that. That is a very, very detailed answer to this question.
You mean you haven't thought for years about what you would do if Odama were to have a sequel? Like what you would want in it? Yeah, but John hasn't, which I find weird because he's on this podcast. And
well, to me, it's you can't really, there shouldn't be a sequel to Odama.
Like you can't perfect a classic, yeah.
Exactly.
John did actually have a pretty good idea for a Odama sequel. I'm going to let him talk here, and I'll interject to try to preserve the conversation as best as I can from my recollection.
I would say, I think what would be cool is turn it into kind of a kaiju kind of game where instead of, you know, you could have the ball smashing cities sort of thing, right? But have the ball be like a kaiju monster that's rolling around and smashing, you know.
So like a modern game?
Yeah.
So you would basically control the ball destroying cities?
Mm-hmm, exactly. You know, like, or you could even do something, you know, like, oh, well, you know, like they always used to say in the 50s, like atomic testing.
Ooh.
Brought the Odama ball back, and all along, the original Odama ball was actually an egg. And that egg hatched. And this kaiju came out of it that still rolls around because that's how it knows to get around, is by rolling itself into a ball and rolling around. But still just... So... It becomes, you know, you're...
Kind of not much point in it hatching then, right?
Yes. So that's how I would do it if there was a sequel to it.
I could dig that.
Yeah, and also, too, it wouldn't be just speaking into the mic with normal commands. There would be like some sort of monster language that you had to learn and speak in order to communicate with your kaiju monster. And then you could also have other kaiju monsters as DLC.
Oh.
But even better than that, for the monster language, you could have, like, Snoop Dogg as DLC.
Oh, boy.
So Snoop Dogg, so you could actually have Snoop Dogg as one of the kaiju. And I don't know, there's something you could do there with that. I'm absolutely confident in it.
I have never been less confident of anything John Lindemann has ever said, except for all the other things he said earlier. But that's pretty much all I can do with this episode, unfortunately. Again, I apologize for not checking the audio. That's my fault. I promise to check the audio in the future, and I'm going to keep an eye on this stuff going forward, and I'm going to continue to make enhancements to my setup to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again. Instead of just giving you basically the song tribute version of this podcast that we have just lost. Look, it's gone. I decided that I wanted to give you all something to listen to. So if you are already a patron over at the patreon.com/NWR, first off, thank you. We greatly appreciate you providing us just $1 a month to help us get by and help fund the site. And if you've already a patron and you're current on all the RFN exclusive podcasts, then unfortunately, I don't really have anything for you here today. So hopefully you enjoyed the little taste of what the episode was. Again, I apologize, and we'll be back next week. We're going to have a new episode, and we'll try to make it up to you there. But if you're not a patron and you haven't heard some of the exclusive Radio Free Nintendo episodes that come out every single month, well, we have a treat for you today, because I decided that in an effort to make sure there is some new content for us, that we were going to release one of our Patreon episodes that we have recorded over the course of the last, I think we're up to 15 months now. So I reached out to Guillaume and John and asked what episodes they could think of. And Guillaume said he wanted to make sure it was one that we're all on, because some of the Patreon episodes have a smaller group, because it's, you know, it's who's interested in talking about the subject. And John agreed, but he also made a recommendation. He recommended to be the one where we were planning for the show. That's all the info he gave me. But I'm pretty sure I know which one he's talking about. This was the RFN Patreon episode 009, Opportunities Knock. This episode came out in, I want to say, April. And it was sort of a suggestion on how the new E3 digital event could work. This was following the outbreak of COVID as a global pandemic and the cancellation of E3 2020 and replacing it with this sort of vaguely termed digital event. If we've all now lived through it and saw that it wasn't particularly eventful, but instead we, the luminaries at J&J Dream Factory, with our associates Greg Leahy and Guillaume Veillette, set aside to figuring out how they could make the digital event an event to remember. And while they didn't follow any of our absolutely brilliant plans, I promise you that you would be much happier if they had. And so now I give you RFN Patreon Episode 9, Opportunities Knock, published originally March 13, 2020. As always, thank you for listening to Radio Free Nintendo. I greatly appreciate it, and while I'm disappointed we won't be able to give you a new episode this week, know that we will do it next week, and I will make up for it by being even more of a dumbass than I usually am, because you all lost on a lot of James Jones is a Dumbass content this week. On that, enjoy. Oh, and welcome! That was way too hot. I'm sorry. To the, I don't know, we'll call it 7th RFN Patreon podcast. That's probably not true. This is the February 2020 episode coming to you live mid-March 2020, because that's the RFN way. We apologize. Thank you for your kind donations to Patreon.com/NWR. That money goes to fun things like the site and probably also the site. I don't think that there's enough money left over for Neil to even have anything worth embezzling. I mean, he could, I guess, but I mean, he's just embezzling from himself. He maintains the site. So that's the money that helps us run the site, because ad revenue ain't cutting it, y'all.
Yeah, can we? So I just want to say, like, we're not especially proud of net delivering on these. It's not.
No,
we're
not. We're
really that incompetent. But also, if you've got ideas of, like, if I wish I knew what people want to hear.
Idea germination is tough. If you have an idea for us to do a Patreon episode on, email it to us.
Yeah.
RFN@NintendoWorldReport.com.
Like I mentioned, I talked a little bit because I've been watching Twin Peaks recently, and I watched through like the last season from 2 years ago, and someone was like, oh, for a Patreon, you should do a Twin Peaks episode or something, and it's like, that's, I'm going to run it past these guys, but I'm just...
That's a lot.
It's a lot of prep, and that's one thing. Like, if you suggest something to us, it must require no prep at all, because we're already... so bad at this.
Well, it's not even like I was talking about the prep. Just trying to talk about Twin Peaks is difficult.
It's
not
that, it's, oh yeah, like, it would just be us like reading. What's the Onion site? The kind of like recap episode recaps from.
Yeah, I mean, it's, no,
give me 25 minutes. I'll have it completely explained for you in a linear, cogent manner.
Excellent.
I guarantee it.
I mean, so, like,
by
like,
which, even if I could do that, that would just ruin it. That's exactly not
well,
the point.
Well, so the best part of that joke is that it's entirely plausible. And I'm not even saying probable. I would say most likely that that's impossible because David Lynch doesn't know all of
I don't think he wants to know himself.
I think there are scenes he just shot because he looked at his director of photography and said, look at this weird shit we're about to do. And then they just shot it, and he's like, what's that got to do with anything? I don't know. Put it in. This is a show
that it's had created a sort of principal antagonist for a lot of its run because they accidentally caught the set decorator in the mirror in a shot during the pilot.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, there's more to that story, too. Like, basically, like, they filmed it, like, because he kind of he pushed stuff around, and then he was caught in the corner and couldn't get out easily. And then, like, they thought it was funny, and so they filmed him there. And that became a scene that they took later. They put later in the show. And it's like, what is happening here? But I gotta say, like, if we're gonna go on that tangent, like, I think that the last season kind of makes almost too much sense in that, like, it actually picks up a lot of the threads. Like, watching all the seasons one after the other in the movie Fire Walk With Me, like, they actually explain a lot, or they refer back to stuff from the previous seasons a lot more than I thought they would. But then they just introduce a whole lot of things that are just like, then they kind of forget, and it's like, yeah.
Well, further cans of worms are opened, and that was really kind of the point as well. It's like he always resented the fact that they were made to divulge the identity of the killer, and so he wanted to create new stuff that this time he could never be forced to divulge. I think that's really the point, is just to get us back to that place again.
Jesus. Anyway, we just finished recording episode 664. This was the episode that was recorded immediately following the cancellation of E3 2020. One of the things that, you know, that the whole lead up to this moment was this quest for relevance that the ESA had put together. And I, as a, we'll say, an associate of one of the esteemed principals of a fine business organization, had originally suggested that J&J Dream Factory, a division of ChemHell Pharmaceuticals Better Living Through Chemicals, be hired to put together E3. Their elaborate experience planning exactly 1 hour every year for 3 straight years of a telethon made them roughly the equivalent of someone who's put together an art gallery. I mean, shit, you just hang pictures on walls and say it means whatever the fuck you feel like saying it means at the moment. What I'm saying is art's for losers. We're going to go ahead and say, well, the ESA now, they hired IM8-Bit, then IM8-Bit left, and the new opportunity opened up, but then the show got canceled. But as always, opportunities abound if you've got an eye for the business. And I am joined today in this new J&J Dream Factory proposal to save E3 and the gaming industry in this era of self-separation. That sounds like a divorce anagram.
Social distancing?
Social
is that what
distancing.
You're
yes,
self-isolation.
That's if you're sick. This is,
yeah.
this is
that's, if, that's if you're me.
No, I'm just assuming that's where you were getting that.
I don't know.
Conflation of phrase from.
Potentially.
I think it's proven to be more popular than self-deportation that Mitt Romney famously coined the phrase in 2012.
Oh, no. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague. I'm not just going to don the J&J Dream Factory persona that I have put together, which case you have forgotten. Good for you. Has all kinds of weird character threads I've put together in him over the years, and I don't remember them all, so you will likely see that I have forgotten that he is a huge fan of Ozzy Osbourne. which I dropped that context clue in 3 distinct appearances. I am joined today by my friend in business, Mr. John Lindemann.
That was the longest introduction I think I've ever heard.
Welcome to the J&J Dream Factory, John.
All right. I'm here for business, by the way. I'm not here for pleasure.
Business, fucking business. Let's talk business. We're also joined by, we're going to call them our sounding boards here.
They're consultants. They're hired consultants.
Yeah. I mean, they are. We are being billed at about $13,000 an hour, but it's worth it. Mr. Guillaume Vayette.
Got my reserves of Garmin Bosia here to get me through this.
Excellent. That's good business talk right there. And Mr. Greg Leahy.
It doesn't work if you say it that way. You've got to say it, you've got to say it backwards and then play it forwards. To, otherwise, it doesn't work.
Okay, I will.
I will. Also, I think what we should have for John and James is like whenever they speak, like on the... chapter art version of the feed or whatever, you get the American Psycho style barely barely distinguishable business cards kind of warring with each other.
Yep.
So I'm not editing this, so I won't.
I was not under the impression that that was actually
no, this
that
will not happen. So
good coloring, by the way. That's bone.
So if you last met the J&J Dream Factory proposal, we put together a time capsule that resulted in the inclusion of all of a country in a time capsule.
Just say what you meant to say, incarceration.
No, preservation of the entirety of Japan in a time capsule. It turns out that would have been a good idea, but here we are now, and the ESA has said they're going to try to launch E3 2020 as a digital event, and John, I think this is the opportunity for us as digital events ourselves to create some business. Do you think...
digital.
Do you think
John
we...
is a digital event.
I am. Every time I'm on this podcast, I'm a digital event.
See, the fun... breaking character for a moment. The fun part about the J&J stuff was that it was just us, so like we were just trying to kill each other with stupid commentary.
Now we
have a whole audience to wipe out with our dumb bullshit.
Is that just like the 21st century equivalent of a paranormal event? Like what?
It's a digital event.
It's a business event that happens over the internets where the kids go to get their information. So John, first and foremost, obviously, business is not helped by the LACC currently not being occupied by all of these fine vendors with their fine business related products to sell. I feel deeply for the fried hot dog on a stick truck that was out there last time I was present.
Yep.
It's a loss. It's a loss for society. I mean, if I can't go to LA and find a hot dog on a stick vendor, how am I going to survive that godforsaken hellhole?
Well, let me just bring this into sharper focus. All right, you know, the stock market is down in a bigger, you know, down like 10% of its value has been wiped off in one day as we record this. That you haven't had a drop that big since like 1987, which is notable considering there was, you know, that financial crisis thing that happened in between. So what I'm saying, John, is fix it. Fucking fix it right now.
So first off, I'm invested entirely in uranium, so it's fine. It is dangerous to store it in my house, but I don't trust banks. So, you know, I just don't go in that room. I'm sure that's fine. Like I had a spare bedroom. It's full of uranium. I don't see the problem. But, John, we're going to have a digital event. And you and I, you and I ran a telethon for years. And by we, I mean mostly me.
Yep.
But you were there.
I came late to a few podcasts. Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you put all the money you help raise together, it comes close to that 10% I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, basically.
The first thing, James, is this is going to be broadcast live from the Choaniki Theater.
Where is the Choaniki Theater?
It's going to be real, all right. It's going to be realer than real.
Where are you building the Choaniki Theater, John?
I need to know. The Choaniki Theater will be, let's see where it's going to be. I mean,
it's actually going to be where they should.
That's kind of what I needed to talk to you about, James.
It's going to be where they were going to be hosting the NFL draft in Las Vegas, but presumably now it's not going to happen, so we're just going to sneak in there and put up a sign that says Choaniki Theater.
With a
cardboard cutout of Mark Davis with his head shaved, which, to be fair, would be for the best, because good God.
Yeah. I mean, it would be kind of like off Broadway. It would be like off the Vegas Strip, right? Well, so I'm assuming we're on a relatively fixed budget here. You know,
I mean, it's not our money. We're business consultants, John. We're spending other people's money.
You're saving the economy. You just got, you know, you just sort of sold some phony treasury bills back to the Fed and got some of that sweet $1.5
trillion
rolling
in. I've got 32 tons of uranium in here. We can get going.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, really, like, because we have to kind of cultivate that sort of underground vibe, so it has to be off the Vegas Strip.
It's got to be authentic. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. So the tricky part, of course, is if there's still travel restrictions, getting people to the event is going to be difficult to then show off their stuff. So here's my suggestion.
Kidnappings?
No. Here's my suggestion, but I like where your head's at. That's smart.
I like that.
Intern Guillaume's got some things going.
He does.
We need to keep it under the felony threshold. I've already got two, and I'm in a three-strike state. So I think first and foremost, John, remember when we went to that concert last year, and it was the Vocaloid concert, and you got to see your favorite Vocaloid performers on stage. I know that was a big deal for you. I don't know how much you saw through the tears.
But I was kind of ugly crying, I'll admit. Yeah.
It's fine. But what if we did our live performance from the Choaniki Theater, but our guests weren't there? They were astral projected or whatever technology they use to make them appear on stage even when they're not. We can have our guests from anywhere in the world on this stage being filmed as if they were here. The audience doesn't have to know, because guess what? The audience is also fake.
You're telling me you've actually got the blueprints for this technology from CNN's 2008 US election coverage. Are they finally loose the lid on that?
They stole that technology from the world's number one performer, the greatest artist of our time, Miss Hatsune Miku. Sure.
God damn it.
don't step to me, intern. I know where all the danger lies. So we've got the stage that no matter where our guests are, if travel situations are still perilous, we can project them onto the stage. You might wonder, how does this save the games industry? Well, we don't have to tell anybody that we're doing that. We project them onto the stage, and then we just film it. And we project an audience, and we just film them. And we make the audience change shirts, because they're not real, into whatever branded company shirts we want. Like, look, if it's Nintendo shirts, they'll have Mario and Zelda, and they could have Peach and Yoshi, and they could have Mr. EAD shirts and whatever the fuck you want on their shirt. It'll be like, man, these are all real Nintendo fans, not in any way, shape, or form paid contributors, many of whom might be recognizable from their YouTube persona, because of course we're just gonna pay them. We were planning to pay them to come to LA, live in a hotel, probably spend thousands on room service pornography, and then come to the stage and forget their lines.
It's a fair point, though, because you think all these sporting events that get cancelled, you're part of it. It's like, well, who wants to watch an event in a closed arena? But they're not thinking about procedurally generated fans being comped in later.
Exactly.
I mean, that's better than real fans.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do anything stupid. But it's even better than paid fans, because, of course, we're talking about E3, home of the paid fan. Like, look, I talked to our contacts at EA, and they said, you know, they paid Ninja to show up, and he forgot his lines, and so they paid him $42 million. What if we just took his face off YouTube, which there's plenty of, and then went and mapped it to a 3D mesh, and then we didn't pay him anything? As long as he doesn't talk, we can just say it was like an homage or some shit. And if we do want to pay him, like, fine, we'll go. He'll probably get paid in uranium. It's fine. And then we'll have him say some lines remotely, and we'll just map him to the mesh, and he'll be in the audience. And then he can get excited when Breath of the Wild 2 is shown, because we'll have him strategically placed in a Breath of the Wild 2 t-shirt, because it's all virtual. And then when the clock rolls over to be the Microsoft press event, because we're going to switch things up and do them at different times, everyone's wearing Battletoad t-shirts. Or Master Chief, Or
go on, get your blinks
Bloodwake t-shirts. Like, they're all going to be there in the audience, and they're going to be excited because right now, Microsoft's whoever, I don't know who's in charge there now, John.
What, a Microsoft?
Yeah.
Phil Spencer?
Yeah, Spencer's the VR Phil Spencer is going to walk out on stage. He's going to be live streaming to us from his palatial estate in Seattle. We're going to be live streaming it onto your Choaniki stage floor with a projector, and then we're going to be filming it and sending it to homes all over the world. And he's going to come out, and he's going to talk about the Xbox Series X, and he's going to give all the new game details, and everything there is just projected onto the stage. It's perfectly safe for everyone, but the audience will look so enraptured by it. People will think they are having sexual climax every time he announces a game.
Jesus.
Because
do we even need to be there at this point?
Fuck no, we don't have to be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about it. We can actually get, so we tell the ESA, look, this is going to have all the energy, all the verve, all the excitement, all the pop, all the more spectacle, because we're going to have VR. We can do whatever we want. We can do lasers. We can do fireworks. And none will be the wiser that we didn't do it for real. But with all the safety of living in your home, of hiding from society right there in front of you. But I bet you're wondering, how do we make money? Because obviously we get paid for putting this together.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, definitely our,
our consulting fees.
Our consulting fees, of course. But I mean, you know, we'd make some money off of the ad placement on the t-shirts, certainly on these.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's obvious.
Like, are you an indie publisher who's worried that people aren't going to get hands-on with their game? We'll cut you a deal. We will give you a front row corner, not front row center. You guys can't afford that. Front row corner t-shirt to show off your game. Are you making a Metroidvania set in a hand-drawn world? Well,
of course you are.
Get on the list. There's a dozen of you, but how many of them are going to be on camera right after the hard camera shot of VR Miyamoto shows off a game, reacting?
If you really want to go for the deluxe package, what you get is 5 procedurally generated fans, and the game actually is playing out across their t-shirts.
Oh,
rather than just a logo or a still image, it's all stitched together seamlessly.
One C-tier influencer of your choice, plus 4 generic fans, guaranteed at least one is in the front row. And that's like the silver tier package. Gold tier package, you get a B-tier influencer. Doesn't talk. That's outside your scope here. Who will pull their shirt up to like show off the logo on it, and you might see the same animation a couple times over the course of the week. It's fine. And he will point to the shirt, and he then throw up a number one gesture while lip syncing number one into the camera.
Yep.
The platinum tier is a virtual influencer will get a Peter Moore style tattoo on their bicep.
Well, so that's the best
part. But except it will be actually of Peter Moore. It'll be of Peter Moore's bicep.
I'm not sure how that gets PR for the company, but I like where your head's at. So here's the thought: the real influencer gets the tattoo, because of course the real influencers, we need them actually talking. So they're going to be using the same sort of remote broadcasting technology to broadcast their presence into the Choaniki Theater. So they'll actually be getting the tattoo on camera, and we will capture that and recreate it on stage as part, because we got hours of content to fill. Normally the video content stops after the show floor opens. Nintendo keeps going and whatever. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want. They're not interested in it. They don't have the business acumen we do. They're busy talking with fucking Denmark. What's Denmark ever contributed? Lego? That's just foot destruction. They are supporting landmines in your home. That's right. Nintendo is a famed landmine supporter. And if they don't want us to keep saying that during E3, they know where our address is and our bank account and our routing number. So fix it. Because we can broadcast to the stage, people can come from anywhere. We can hire people. Like, I bet you, John, we can get better numbers than Mixer does.
Maybe.
And by that, I mean we can get more than five people at a given moment.
Now, what I want to know is, at what point does Snoop Dogg become involved in this?
At day one. I think Snoop Dogg does a virtual concert right in the middle of the EA press.
To be fair, if it's virtual, couldn't you have like past Snoop Dogg and present Snoop Lion or whatever he is like
you
performing
could.
Alongside?
I mean,
one
you could
another.
Have Snoop Doggy Dogg versus Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
versus the Dog Father. I mean,
I think
come
I think
on.
it's Snoop. We get the infinite progression of him and just him aging and de-aging, giving different lines. But he's replaced all of the lines in his long series of work with commentary about how good the Xbox Series X is.
Everything from What's My Name to Snoop's Upside Your Head is right there in concert. Virtual concert, though, of course.
But the whole goal is to make sure the audience at home thinks this is really happening. I want them to know that the gaming industry is still about reckless spending of money. And there's a really important reason for that. Do you know what it is, John?
A business?
It's for fucking business. It's for our business. Because we're going to make the biggest fucking show that's ever never happened. The biggest convention that's ever never happened.
This does sound basically like the climax of The Last Jedi. You just need to make sure no one runs the lightsaber right through us and realizes we're not real.
That's not true, because we've explained it way better than The Last Jedi does. So we've got all of this, like, the goal is to make sure that the audience at home is still having the authentic E3 experience. That they are getting what they get so hyped for every year. But we don't have the expense and peril of running the LACC. And so I think who to you, John, says E3? When you think E3, who comes to mind?
Reggie.
Well, he's busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about like
just in general. So like, all right, Reggie's. We'll call him. We'll ask him. We'll ask him. Like, hey, look, you've been claymation. You've been a puppet. You've been a fucking bird. Have you ever been virtual? Have you ever been virtual, Reggie? Bet you haven't. You could look young forever. We can make that happen. Please hold this uranium while I make this happen.
What about Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk's real fucking old, John.
Tony Hawk has to be involved in this, though.
I mean, it's E3.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not E3 if they don't have Tony Hawk there.
Which, that's on his business card, by the way. If I'm not there, it's not E3.
Is the answer Randy? Is the answer the guy that played Randy from Scream?
I
can't be bothered to remember his real name.
Neither can he.
David Arquette.
No. Lesser. Got lower.
You watch him out. That's WCW champion David Arquette. Thank you.
That is
Randy
true.
Scream, like the guy who was also in. That guy.
Jamie Kennedy did some shitty E3 events, right?
Yes, he did. So, John,
I was going to say, can I guess at who says E3 to me?
Who's that?
Keanu Reeves. So I thought that maybe we could go with, probably can't just pull that off twice. So maybe also because probably you need to cut costs somewhere. Maybe you can get like Joe Pantoliano.
I love Joe Pantoliano.
So here's the thing, though. The beautiful thing is that we just need them to film their bit. It doesn't have to be live. We're going to broadcast it anyway. It's much cheaper for them to appear at this than at E3. E3, we got to get them to the convention. We may even have to fly them out to LA. Like, we don't
do
any of that.
Let's maintain the Scream theme and go with Jada Pinkett Smith, who was in Scream 2 briefly.
You know,
but also in the Matrix sequels. See,
aren't
he
they making another
covered.
Matrix movie?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, John, here is your Tony Hawk answer. So, real half pipe. Lower it from the ceiling. Because again,
I've been looking for my Tony Hawk answer my entire life, James.
We lower the half pipe from the ceiling. This is important. This is important. This is business. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm focusing.
Yeah. Think about the health and safety stuff you don't have to worry about because no one's actually corporeal. So it's like you could exactly. do the sort of 80s rock concert thing of like suspending the half pipe over the fans.
Yeah.
But like, with none of the actual potential liability issues.
So I also think the board needs to be real because I think we're going to have difficulty projecting that. So animatronic board on a rail, it's hard to see, on the half pipe, and then we project the Hawkman on the board. People will think that Tony Hawk has de-aged 10 years because he has, because yeah. we'll be using video from 10 years ago.
That's all everything's about now, the Irishman, you know, that's what people yeah. want.
Right.
I want to see what Pacino actually looks like now.
So,
God, no.
So, I was thinking, though, as opposed to hosting it in Vegas, which I'm sure is taking a real whop right now, and I support us being able to give back to that community by sending nobody to it.
Yeah. It seems, you know, vaguely sort of appropriate.
What if we hosted it on a boat? E3 from a boat.
Is there nowhere we can have a boat in Vegas?
Well, I mean a large boat. Are you saying
on the cleansing waters of Lake Minnetonka?
No, see, I'm thinking. I recently observed. Right now, there is one professional sport. And what sport is that, John? The one sport that truly gets business.
What, football?
No.
Football
doesn't get business. Football thinks they get business. This is a sport that's only exists because of business.
Professional darts.
They are some business-ass business professional arts. No, John, the sport, the true sport of professional wrestling.
All right.
I mean, that is the most business-ass business there is.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you put sports and entertainment together, you get business. That's true.
That's right.
Everybody knows
sports
that.
Plus entertainment equals money, equals business. And so right now, WWE has canceled a live showing of their A show, and they're going to tape it from a fucking gym on Friday. Mm-hmm. This is broadcast on Fox over the air. They're going to broadcast it from a gym with no audience. That's not business. That's like fulfilling your TV contracts. We have the same challenge we're going to have to confront. We have this big, sprawling spectacle, and we have to host it somewhere. And so your idea of putting it off Vegas makes sense, because we're going to isolate it so the people who do have to be there aren't in any real danger. We're going to pipe in all the activity through laser shows. That's great. But you see, wrestling also has ideas about business, and one of them is the Jericho Cruise. Are you familiar with this, John?
I am familiar with the Jericho Cruise.
Yep. As a former buffet attendant at the Jericho Cruise, I can tell you that it's all about business. You get a bunch of marks to pay a ton of money for a beer on the off chance that they see some B-tier indie wrestler drink a beer also, but behind a rope. What if we did the E3 Cruise? Now, nobody can be on it because cruising right now is not advisable.
Right. Yeah.
But
I mean, you would think you could get a hell of a deal right
exactly.
now on leasing the cruise ship.
Exactly. And the mm-hmm. staff, because they want to work. And so mm-hmm. we make sure the crew is clean. You know, they're not working right now, so they can go through isolation periods. We can feel confident and it's safe. They take the boat out into international waters. What we tell people is that we sold tickets to the cruise. And they're going to say, that sounds irresponsible. We're going to say, no. No, we took care. We made sure everybody here was safe before we let them get on the boat. And they had the best fucking E3 of their lives. A week of video games on this fucking boat. And we're going to shoot live video of the events on the boat. And we're going to broadcast them to the world. They're going to see the craziest E3 in the casino. They're going to see Tony Hawk playing cards, because that's really all he can handle these days. And they're going to see pyrotechnics in the ballroom. They are going to see pro wrestlers. John, give me two pro wrestlers who would make sense at a modern E3.
Let's see, at a modern E3, God, a modern E3. Let me see. I would say, shit. Let's say Edge.
Yeah.
Since he just came back, and
yep.
Let's say Kane. How's about
Edge
that?
And Kane.
Edge and Kane.
The mayor is busy right now. No, but see, yep. Here's the thing. I suspect business WrestleMania is going to have to cancel, and one of their big open feuds right now is the Viper Randy Orton versus mm-hmm. the Rated R Superstar Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, WWE is going to want to resolve that feud. It's a hot feud, but it's primarily hot based on the fact that Edge has a terrible debilitating neck injury that they somehow surgically fused back together enough so he can wrestle a little bit more and end his career. And then the feud is basically, I'm going to break his neck, which you can really only do so many times where people realize that maybe his neck's not actually that fragile. So I'm suggesting that in lieu of blowing it off at E3, they blow it off virtually in this totally scripted film to the soundstage, because nobody's actually on the cruise ship, John. It's just the crew.
That's the secret.
We film all these things on a set, just like the moon landing, and then we broadcast them out live. Oh, shit! Oh, God! Edit that out! We broadcast that live.
The Running Man. Just like the Running Man.
Yeah, just like the Running Man.
Running Man. It's easy to confuse those two.
Yeah, yeah,
very
yeah.
Similar
moon
things.
Landing, very real. Very real. And we broadcast those out. And these are all in sound stages. We're only going to have the people that need to be there. The rest of the audience and stuff can be fake. That can all be just CG'd in later. And so what we have done is we've created an E3 where we get to have all the announcements, where people are taping safely from their studio, and where we're dressing it up to look like the cruise ship. The cruise ship's out in the water. People can't confirm nobody's on it. And then when it comes back, we say, hey, for safety reasons, we're taking people off and we're going to isolate them for a little while and make sure
you know,
they're good.
And you know, only enhances the mystery and intrigue when you say from an undisclosed location.
Yeah, undisclosed location south.
Well, we could also say, well, at that point, we could also sell T-shirts that could say, I survived the E3 cruise.
But no, see, but that's not the point. We want it to seem luxurious and exciting, because next year, when there's not a pandemic, we're going to actually host E3 on this boat.
You're an optimist.
And we're going to make so much fucking money.
You see, I think it would be better if it was just like the offshore prison in Face Off.
Well, see, the problem with
everyone's got magnetic boots on. There's like a wall of TVs for some reason where John Travolta gets to be smug.
Yeah, but see, this is the idea here is, I'm making
imagine all the industry executives who could be smug on that wall of TVs.
I can give them a wall of TVs on the cruise ship. That's fine. The idea, though, is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a demand that people didn't know they had. E3 was already in trouble. It was already being abandoned. What we're going to do is we're going to make it unabandonable, which is not a word. PAX? Fuck PAX. We're going to make PAX look like a little shit. PAX is the place you go when you want to get a botulism. That's what PAX is. You want to sit in that chair and get Ebola? PAX got you covered. You want to have an open bar and play the newest games before your friends out on the open fucking ocean and get a chance that you might lay eyes? You can't get there, but you saw him.
You're guaranteed to at least see Will Wheaton.
You will. Mm-hmm. Will Wheaton will ask you for money. That is a guarantee. Yeah. So what I'm saying is you might get to shake hands with Bear Grylls on this cruise ship, but nobody. But see, people will lie. They'll say, oh, I got the exclusive invite to E3 2020 cruise. I was on it. But see, the word will get out that the cruise was amazing. Nobody will say, I was on that cruise and it sucked. They'll say, I was on that cruise. Nobody got sick, which is true because nobody was on the cruise. And they're going to say, it was great. And then next year, we're going to put tickets up and we're going to sell them for twice the normal list of the price of the cruise. So like make the Jericho cruise look cheap. We're going to have real wrestling on it sponsored. 2K is going to do 205 Live from the WWE cruise because nobody watches that shit anyway. You can do it from wherever you want. That's going to be the real show. And then next year when we're saying we're going to tape, I don't know, SmackDown from the show, because SmackDown's on Friday. We're going to tape it for real. We can charge so much money for these tickets. But here's the kicker, John. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Right. So we're going to charge double the price of the normal tickets, but we're going to have first crack at them. So while we're producing this for the ESA, ESA is going to make a ton of money on these tickets. JJ Dream Factory has the URL for them going on sale first. We're going to buy 1,000 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to scalp those motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
The ESA is going to look, they're going to be thrilled because the tickets sold. We're going to be thrilled because the tickets resold. And that is how we're going to make some fucking bank. All we need to do this year is make a cruise ship disappear for 6 or 7 days and convince every company in the industry to tape weird segments in front of a green screen that we could then place throughout the cruise ship's interior.
The only other thing I would add is that we should have loot boxes. Since it's all virtual, we should have loot boxes with Satoru Iwata as a rare drop. But with Will Wheaton as a common drop, and you know,
that's fair.
Jamie Kennedy as a common drop.
What? Of course. What if during the presentation, during the shows, during the day, and my thought is, because E3 is all about the conventions and then the show floor, and the show floor isn't really available to most people. What if throughout the week we have events? People are constant. We're constantly streaming events from different decks of the cruise ship, and I'm using air quotes because you can't see it because we're doing this as a teleconference. And we essentially allow people the opportunity to see the comings and goings of this virtual E3, only they think it's real. And throughout the show, we have integration into Twitch. You know, Twitch now has all these apps you can put directly on the screen. And they can buy loot boxes. And in those loot boxes, there is the possibility that you get a ticket to E3 2021. But the thing is, there's only one of them. And we don't have to tell them because loot box laws are incredibly lax in North America. And most of the time, you just get Will Wheaton's. You get a cameo from Will Wheaton. I'm sure is on Cameo. I guarantee you Will Wheaton is on Cameo. Absolutely 100%. And he just, hi, this is Will Wheaton. You just reached my boy. He's out right now. Leave a message. Beep. Hi, I'm Will Wheaton. I was the worst character in all of Star Trek history. Leave a message. Beep. Like you could just, it's, we make money now to finance the boat for later. Because we gotta make the boat look appealing this time because we're gonna use it to make money next time. And then in a few years, we've got a lot of money. Maybe we have two boats. We don't have to tell people there's two boats. We just shuttle the people who are important between the two boats. We broadcast live from boat one, but there's a second boat, and that's where we put all the people on. So we could just shuttle people to boat two, and we can sell double the tickets. And as long as we never broadcast from boat two, and as long as boat two doesn't have internet to see what's being broadcast, they'll never know. Run that scam back, John. That's what I'm saying. I mean, business. Run that business back. All right, you got any other proposals for how we can run our virtual E3 this year?
No one has thought about this as much as you have.
I'm just coming up with it as I go because business flows from this river that is between my eyes. This river, this river of business.
Every word of that sentence was got scarier and scarier.
This river of business. I am suggesting perhaps one other possibility, which is that we don't try any elaborate smoke and mirrors to pretend like we're still doing a live event. We don't, or rather one centralized event. We let companies produce their video packages and put them together and do their own streaming, and that we just act as kind of a middleman to put some branding together for it and to help news get distributed and to work as sort of a collaborator with our partners to make sure that they don't schedule on top of each other as best of our ability and shit like that. And, you know, we're just really there to help coordinate and get word out and make sure the schedule's available, make sure that everybody involved is streaming on the same platform so you can have one place you can watch and consume a lot of this content together. You know, maybe we help them get press content out and work on making sure demos get distributed in a safe and reasonable manner. And we collect a reasonable fee for our efforts, but nothing extraneous. What I'm saying is that, you know, we act as responsible members of the industry, and just as good organizational shepherds. I mean, we could do that, right?
Of course we can.
But what this if is we business. What if we also use this as a cover for cocaine sales? That's what I'm saying. Like, we got to make some side hustle. I can't go straight, John. I can't do it. I got to make that money.
You know, there's a lot of money out there, James. you got to get that.
I got to make all of it. That's right. If you wake up and you don't control all the money, can you say you control any of the money? I don't think you can.
Nope.
So that, because all you need is that $1 and you can start building your empire. And as long as there's a chance, there's even the slightest chance, somebody out there has even 1 inch more drive than me, I got to crush them. And I'm going to crush them by dropping a motherfucking cruise ship on them, because that is business. A cruise ship full of virtual Tony Hawks.
Amen, brother.
That is how we are going to fucking save E3. So I turn it to our distinguished guests. What ideas caught your eye for E3 2020?
Wait, was I supposed to take notes?
What moved your soul?
I like the idea of offshore prison from Face Off. I like the idea of all the industry executives being forced to wear magnetic boots, and there being a weird supply of fireworks in this place.
There's no amount of supply that's a weird supply of fireworks.
But I also like the idea of, like, crossing it over with Jason Takes Manhattan, the 8th final Friday the 13th movie, as it is now Friday the 13th as I record this.
Oh,
and
God.
So he would come along and, like, chop people's heads off while they're rooted to the spot and completely incapable of surpassing his admittedly modest walking pace.
I'm open for cross promotion with other brands and other media. Like, if you have a movie coming out in 2020 and you want to be featured on either John's virtual soundstage, Choaniki Theater, or in my palatial cruise ship, that's completely empty.
That is, in fact, an offshore prison. A black site, essentially.
I mean, it kind of is. Even in my version of events, we can virtually add your stars as, you know, revealing games and being on stage and talking about how excited they are to play. Insert game here.
Also, I like the idea of John essentially... think of it as like an anthology of, like, Nintendo has their stuff and then Microsoft has their stuff, but John gets to be like the crypt keeper and, like, stitch it together with, like, silly puns.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. So John Linneman in front of the camera.
Yes.
Hmm.
The fans want it. That's clear.
I mean, we're gonna have to use a lot of powder on the dome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those lights are bright. Especially, yeah,
I guess it depends if we want to go the Crypt Keeper angle or the Elvira angle with John.
I don't want to go the Elvira angle with John at all. Thank you.
That'd probably be more Uncle Fester, but here we are.
He never had to do the interstitials, though. That's the point.
That's true.
Somehow you've got to thread it all together, so it's very much of a piece.
Who can we get to host a virtual E3? No, keep in mind, they can do it from their homes. We have the power. I've got it. You ready for this? They're going to cross-promote it with a movie. Although it's been delayed now. That may work to our benefit.
No.
John Cena. I mean, he's basically a large child. So that's... so that's fine.
He's going to talk about, I don't know, Sony's, because, you know, Sony's not attending even the virtual one, that they've been caught and compromised to a permanent end or whatever.
I just want him just giving his shocked reaction face, where he looks vaguely like one of those clowns where you have to throw the ball through its mouth every time something new gets announced. Oh! So John Cena, because, of course, Fast 9, I think, has been delayed because of viral fears. This kind of puts it back in the spotlight.
Well, it makes up for it, really, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, I mean, like,
him overacting to E3 announcements is pretty much the same thing. You get almost all the same kind of entertainment value out of that.
And because I think they actually went and delayed it a full year. Like, they've actually pushed it to spring of next year. We need to get them moved. Like, they need to be in the spotlight consistently between then and now. And that's one way to do it, obviously. Like, you know, get him in front of the camera making reaction faces. But there's another movie, and this is Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. So I'm suggesting, because it's all virtual anyway, we have James Corden's fucking rabbit be his co-host of E3. And I'm fairly confident John Cena would be totally happy co-hosting E3 with the CG rabbit. What I'm saying also is that James Corden is apparently just a fucking asshole to work with, and that way we don't have to have him in the building.
If we can't get Statham, can we pass John off as Statham?
I can work out a little bit.
You're going to have to work out a lot of it.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see. Yeah. All right, we'll figure it out.
Probably not going to have to take acting lessons, though. That's the good thing.
I would argue you would have to take acting lessons to try to take it down a notch. But I'm just saying, like, imagine you've got John Cena and a CG rabbit, and they're going to throw it to the Microsoft stage where they're going to show what's coming to the Xbox Series X in 2020. I want
to. I like it. And also, Treehouse has to be in a little cabin.
Sure, in an actual tree. It doesn't have to be real, but there's a treehouse on the boat that we have built for them. Because, of course, the boat's just sitting there. We can build a treehouse on it, whatever. And in 2021, that prop is going to get reused as the real. You can book to have lunch at the treehouse, used from the treehouse. Not when they're there, obviously. For $45.99 a plate. And it's just like tea and sandwiches. It's cheap as shit. But that's money to be made. We're going to turn E3 into a profit-making venture once a year. Look, there's boats available. We can make this happen. That's all I'm saying. Actually, I do have one more. One last one. What if, since we can't do the big theater show and stuff, what if we projected all of the presentations on the side of buildings? Lots of buildings. Buildings all over the world. Don't warn anybody. They'll just look outside, and there's Peter Molyneux standing on a skyscraper.
Yeah, or like on the side of like a children's hospital or something like that.
Exactly. And he's holding up a piece of paper, and he's showing it to a TV, and somehow, the character on the TV has made a copy of that drawing and has now brought it into the world and is telling him how pretty it is. I'm just saying, we can have lies live in our lie broadcast all over the world, but not in a way that's dangerous, because you can watch that from anywhere because it's going to be on the side of a building. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's business in a lot of ways, because we got to buy projectors. We got to hire projectionists. Most importantly, everyone's eyes are going to be on it, because they're not going to want to talk about depressing stuff. They're going to want to talk about the fact that John Cena and a fucking CG rabbit threw it to the Nintendo stage, where Nintendo then talked about fucking Breath of the Wild 2. And they're going to come back, and John Cena's O-face is going to be on permanent display at 175 feet tall. You know what that is, John? It's a new genre. You know what I'm calling this genre?
What?
Games entertainment.
Okay.
From the E3 universe. Not fans. The universe.
You should call it entertainment.
No, you know what? You're right.
It's
E2. Yeah, you only need one more.
Come on. So, cause keep in mind, the only industry that matters, you know what that is?
What?
Whatever industry's fucking paying us, tell them to say they're the only one that matters. Business motherfuckers. And that concludes our Save the Video Game Industry presentation for 2020. Check back in 2021 when we are undoubtedly required to make a similar display of just absolute brilliance.
It's a shame this has to be behind the sort of Patreon paywall, because if you think about how much that would have calmed the markets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, so that's the thing.
Lot of people's retirements we could have just saved there.
If you want
if
to
we put it
the
on
market,
the public feed.
you want to calm the market, tell the market, call the market and tell him or her, I don't know, I've never met the market, to spend $1 at patreon.com/NWR, and we can let Mr. or Miss the Market listen to this episode. And they can then be calm. They can be soothed by the fact that two rogues of industry have hijacked an abandoned cruise ship and used it to host a fake presentation that's not actually happening on that cruise ship, knowing that they will then be able to sell access to this boat next year. Or that they have decided to go out into the desert and set up a stage based around the quest for holy protein and have virtually projected video game celebrities into the audience to create a sense of normalcy that the market so desperately craves in these dark hours.
There's very little as reassuring as procedurally generated fans.
I mean, again, it's all about normalcy, and that's pretty fucking normal when you think about it. So, don't panic. Don't worry. The very visible hand of the market. The hand of Chemelle Pharmaceuticals Better Living Through Chemicals has got this covered. All right, well, that got fucking wild. I've got to take the character off now. Jesus Christ. The cadence is actually the hard part. Like, I have to keep that, like, punctuate the reveals. Cadence is actually, like, this mental process I have to work through of, like, okay, figure out. Because a lot of times I don't know what I'm going to say when I start the sentence. It's like, okay, here we go. What crazy harebrained dumbass idea can I come up with? Cruise ships are the problem. Cruise ships are the solution. Oh, fuck. Here we go. Thank you, as always, for contributing to the RFN, excuse me, not the NWR Patreon. This idea was very dumb and very thrown together. But at the same time, like, it was kind of fun to actually get to talk about this really serious topic and just take the piss for a little while. Because it can be stressful to think about. You know, the scale of this is really unsettling, and this is kind of a fun conduit to just kind of relax about it. But yeah, E3 is going to be weird. It's going to be, well, it won't. It's not happening. No E3 is going to be weird. The E3 digital event is going to be weird. If they actually host this shit from a cruise ship for the E3 digital event and listen to this, I will send my resume to the ESA and say, fucking hire me. You stole my idea, you bastards. Because there's no way they came up with that on their own. Gentlemen, thank you for being here for this art. Question mark? Lots of question marks? Extended question marks?
Thought it was business, but okay.
Well, I'm not in Persona anymore, so it was business.
Oh, the deal.
Yeah, like I'm not in character anymore. I have to disengage myself from the business James, because business James will want to talk about business and not go to bed. Because, like, they look at the markets and go, there's money to be made here. And then I'll be on E-Trade, and I'll be trying to find a deal, and we don't need that. We need business James to go dream about using a cruise ship to actually shell PAX events to try to get more money. It's the first time a cruise ship's been used as an act of piracy, but you know what? If I can't run my show, no one can. Is the kind of cutthroat business of acumen that, you know, it's not three strikes if one of the crimes happens on international water. That's all I'm saying.
Live from the Straits of Hormuz, E3.
You know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of E3 now. Let's do it. Let's do our E3.
Joke's on you, Iran. There was no real people on that boat.
Imagine the appeal of, like, the industry can make all kinds of bogus insurance claims if Iran hijacked our trade show. Think of the audacity of it. They hijacked our trade show. Like, we can't function. All of, like, E3 looked like a disaster, like, before this happened. We could say, like, no, we had a plan. But Iran literally stole the plan. They stole the plan and the boat and the people on it. They said we were trying to do something illegal. We weren't. I mean, we were, but you can't prove that. Because they have the boat. I mean, it's the perfect crime. And anything they plant was with the. I mean, can you trust the Iranians? They planted that shit. Come on, really? You know me. You know me. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do you like that. And then I will proceed to immediately do them like that. Because that's business. Fuck. All right, I gotta turn that off. I slide into that way too easily, and that's really worrying. That character might need to get retired, Sean. All right, well, I think I killed everybody, so that's good. Y'all okay?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, great. Well, that's going to do it for us. We'll have the other Patreon episode we do for March soon, once we figure out what we want. If you have Patreon suggestions, send them RFN and NintendoRollReport.com. As always, thank you. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Bye. Bye-bye.